There he is.
Hello, this is Larry Goins. How's everybody doing?
Great.
Great.
Awesome. Good, good, good. We got a lot of people on the line today. If you're just now joining us for the first time, if you're a new Inner Circle member, congratulations. Welcome to the family. This is where you can reach out and ask questions. We'll stay on here as long as anybody needs. Sometimes we're on here 10 minutes. Sometimes we're on here 30 minutes. Sometimes we're on here 2 hours. Just depends. So thank you very much for your business. I really appreciate it. Appreciate each and every one of you. And I know we got a lot of people out there, got a lot of stuff going on because I get emails every day. So with that, let's just open it up. Everybody just be respectful. And if you have a question, ask a question, give somebody else a shot. That way I won't have to use the line for everyone. So having said that, who has a question and would like to jump in?
Hey, Larry, I just had a real quick question.
Sure.
We recently have bought a couple of houses. And we've raised the financing for them. So when we're going to create a promissory note between us and our underlying lender.
Right.
And create a deed of trust. Now, do you recommend that I let the title company create that deed of trust every time, or can I just give them a template that I use to create the deed of trust so I can save on the document prep fees?
Well, how much are they charging you to create that deed of trust?
Maybe like $200.
Just for that one document?
Yeah, I think so. Promissory note, deed of trust.
I think what I would do if I were you, I would say, look, it looks like we're going to be doing this on a regular basis, and $200 seems like a lot to prepare a document that the only thing that's going to change is the lender name and the property address and legal description. So what can we work out? Can we create some sort of a template, and then you use that same template every single time and maybe charge me, $40 or something to do it every time. And the reason I would do it this way is you really want their name on it, where it says prepared by and mailed to their name. So if anything ever comes up about the validity of it, about any clause in it, about any addendum to it, or about anything in that document at all, it's going to be on them. And that way they can't come back and say, well, it was your document. All I did was have them sign it.
Right. And my problem was that we just recently did one, and they in the deed of trust, they created a due on sale clause, which I crossed out before giving over to the lender. But I didn't like that. I didn't like it.
Well, here's what I would do if I were you. I would sit down. I would come up with some ideas of some clauses that you won't put in there in the promissory note and in the deed of trust that are going to be pro-borrower, like maybe a substitution of collateral clause and leave out the due on sale clause, like maybe the loan would be assumable, different things like that that you would want to put in there, and maybe they're going to charge you, $200 or $300 or $400 to sit down and put all this together and draft it. But after that, it's just a part of the closing package, and they shouldn't charge you anything in addition to the regular closing fee to have those documents signed each time.
Right. That makes sense. Okay.
Awesome. Good. Good. Glad I could help.
Thanks.
Sure. Anytime. Anytime. So who's next? Who's got a question?
Bueller.
Hello. Anybody got a question?
Yeah, I got a question. So I got another property under contract for about $16,500.
Awesome.
I am planning to owner finance it for $45,000.
Good. Three times.
With
a little less than three times. Good.
With a $4,000 to $5,000 down payment.
Good.
So I posted some ads for it. I scheduled to close at the end of the month. I posted some ads for it. I've gotten a lot of response, a lot of people who are said, you know, have expressed interest in it. I have not been able to get them inside of it yet because it's on a Supra. And so two things. One, what do you recommend is the best way to get them in there? Two, if I'm unable to secure a buyer before closing at the end of the month, I mean, I don't have a problem closing into it if you think that's advisable. But I'm just wondering, do you think I should or shouldn't, or what, you know, what?
Okay, sure. Let's start with the first one about showing it.
It's about 2 hours away from me right now, that place.
Oh, okay. Well, the first thing you could do is get a key. Get a key from the listing agent or get a key out of the super box. Get your buyer's agent to get a key out of the super box and then make a copy of it and have a key on site somewhere. Some people do this, okay? If it's a HUD house, I would not recommend you do that, although some people do even do that with HUD houses. But I personally would not endorse doing that. Okay,
okay, fair enough.
Okay, and so you just get a key, hide it on site, or put your own lockbox on the back door or something or somewhere, you know, where you could hide a key there somewhere to show the property. Because if it's a vacant property, you know, it's not really going to hurt anything, somebody looking at it. Just make sure you get all their contact information so they know, hey, you know, look, I know your name, your email, your phone number, where you work, you know, all that good stuff.
Yeah.
So that way, you know, if anything happens, you know, they're the last ones to see it, okay? And the second question about should you close if you don't have a buyer, the short answer is it depends, but I'm going to tell you what it depends on, okay?
Okay.
If your feedback is, I don't like the neighborhood, I don't like the neighborhood, I don't like the neighborhood, then don't close on it. If your feedback is something that you can change about the property, like, you know, there's a holes in the wall, holes in the wall, holes in the wall, then go in there and spend a few $100 and fix the holes in the wall. Or countertops, 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 countertops is what everybody's saying. Then go in there and spend $500 and put in some new countertops. And I $100 because we're not talking about the kind of house you're going to put granite in, okay?
Right.
Good. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. I think I'm going to have a little difficulty getting a key made. I've had a few people drive by it. Two people said they're very interested. When can I get inside? They said, and I basically told them that I'll try to schedule an appointment with a listing agent to show it. If not, you might have to wait till closing, is what I've told them.
Well, it's going to be hard to sell it when you tell somebody they can't get in until closing. Oh, you mean until you close on it?
Yeah, correct.
Right, okay. You could do that, but you want to get some feedback to determine if you're going to close if it's not sold already. So what I would recommend doing is either it's 2 hours away, drive out there to look at the property, okay? You know, you need to, you know, or have a contractor go out there, meet them, you know, get a key to get in or whatever to do an inspection and just make a copy of the key right quick and keep a copy of it. Or have a contractor or have somebody else or have your buyer's agent or a buyer's agent or whatever. Or you could even have an agent meet them out there and open the door for them at the property.
Okay.
Awesome. Does that help?
Yep, thanks.
Good. Congratulations. You got a lot of stuff going on. That's awesome.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Hey, anybody else have a question?
Yes, I have a question.
Good.
Joseph and Helen Shah, how are you, Larry?
Good. How are you?
Good, good. Question. We are in contract for two houses at the same town, very far from us. It's like about 6 hours.
Right. And, in Georgia.
Yes, and it's with one realtor. And looks like he's a nice guy. Looks like.
He's
knowledgeable.
Oh, good, good, good.
Okay, and so our question, actually we sent you email with that, but maybe you had no time yet, so this is why we decided to ask.
Yeah,
so,
good. I see your email here about should you have him sell it? Should you send him the signs and all that stuff?
Not sell it. So maybe we can send him a signs and ask him, like you just mentioned now, to meet a future buyer and open doors for them. Is it okay?
Yeah, you could pay him to open the door for your buyers. You could even pay him to put out the signs for you. You could pay him to go over there and take 30 to 40 pictures, you know, to put on your website.
Yes, and what do you think, how much to pay him? Just an idea.
Okay. There's a couple of different theories on this. You could either pay them every time they show it, like maybe $25 just to go over there and open the door, and maybe pay them $50 to put the signs out. Or if you want to tell them, look, I'm going to send you the signs. If you'll let people in, you know, I'll pay you $500 or I'll pay you $1,000 whenever we sell it. You know, something like that. It doesn't have to be a lot because all they're really doing is putting out signs and then opening up the door.
Okay.
So it doesn't have to be a lot of money. They're not really acting as a realtor. They're really acting more as somebody just opening the door for the person and maybe taking pictures and putting the signs out. So it's not like you got to pay them a lot of money. I would say either like $25 every time they show the property, maybe pay them $50 or $75 for putting out all the signs, or you could just pay them like a flat $500 or something whenever it sells, $500 to $1,000, somewhere around there.
Okay.
Now, if they were going to, you know, advertise it and market it and bring in a buyer, then you could pay them, you know, a percentage, just like they would as an agent, or you could pay them, a percentage of the down payment that they got. Does that make sense?
Yes. And the question is, I was talking today to one realtor, and so she told me that until we close, they cannot advertise the property.
So
I was talking to one realtor today, and I told her that, listen, we are going to buy, and so then sell it with seller financing, hopefully the same day. And so she told me, no, it cannot happen because as a realtor, I cannot advertise the property until you are the owner.
Good. You're absolutely right. They cannot advertise it until you are the new owner because it's probably already on the MLS listed for the current owner. So they are correct. However, if they have buyers that have down payment and need seller financing, they could go ahead and talk to those buyers, those specific buyers that are interested in seller financing, and they could show that buyer the property that you have under contract and sell it to them for you even though you do not own it yet. There's nothing wrong with them doing that. But they cannot market it and advertise it for you since you do not own it yet.
Okay, got it. Thank you.
Excellent.
Thank
did that
you.
Help?
Yeah.
Yes, it is. Thank you.
You're very welcome, guys. You're very welcome. I hope you're doing okay.
Trying hard.
There
trying
you go.
All best.
Well, congratulations. You got a couple more under contract. That's great.
Yes. Thank you, lady.
Did you find a buyer for the other one?
Not yet. Not yet.
That's a nice house. You should have no problem. That's a very nice house.
Yeah, we thought as well in this way, but so far they do not have enough money for down payment.
Yeah, well, you're going to run into that. Sometimes it just takes a little while, but that's okay. It's a nice house in a nice area, so you should do well with that.
We hope for that, yeah.
And this is a good...
Kind of,
I'm sorry, go ahead.
It's kind of listen that this house cost more than you recommend. That's why it's not that easy to sell it, because people don't have this amount of money for down payment.
Right. It's a little bit more expensive of a house than we've been talking about.
Yes,
but,
absolutely.
The good news is this time of year, people are getting their tax refund.
Yes.
So that will help you.
Yes,
we
are counting on this.
We hope for that as well, yes.
Good, good. Well, that's good. It's good to hear you guys. I'm glad you're doing well.
Thank you,
William. Thank you.
You're very welcome. You're very welcome. Who else has a question? Anybody else have a question?
Hi, Larry. This is Tim Nichols in Asheville. How are you?
Good. How are you?
All right. I sent in a question. You don't mind me just saying what I sent in?
No, that's okay. That's fine. I may have seen it, but maybe not. I don't remember seeing one today. Sometimes, for some reason, they go into the spam folder and I don't see them. So maybe I missed it. But, yeah, go ahead.
Well, this is basically about my personality because I don't have any problem talking to banks, realtors, private lenders, all of that kind of thing. We've done it for 10 years with rehabs.
Right.
But now that we're getting into wholesaling, I did, obviously, 10 years ago, I did some talking to sellers. However, I just simply can't bring myself to not give them too much. So my question is, with that, should I look into an acquisitions manager or should I – I've bid on HUD homes and probably done – 10 or so of them in the last few years as far as rehabs.
Right.
But I haven't gone across the state because, and we have no rehabs or no HUDs left in Buncombe County, as you probably know.
Yeah, there's not many in your area.
No, our inventory is down 40 or 45% actually.
Right.
But so I need to go out of area. The question is that the best thing for me to do is to focus on HUD out of town and work directly that way so I don't talk with sellers, or do I get an acquisitions manager? And, of course, that's not going to help much in my area because there's a lot lower hanging fruit other places, you know.
Right. Well, first of all, let me answer this with kind of two parts, okay?
Okay.
First of all, there's two ways to expand your business and get more deals. You can either go deep or you could go wide. By going deep, an example of that would be there's not as many HUD houses as there needs to be in Buncombe County for you to be able to get enough deals. So you either have to do one of two things. You have to go deep, meaning you got to find other sources where you can buy more houses in Buncombe County, like bandit signs, MLS, direct mail, short sales, Craigslist, other wholesalers, RIA groups, newspaper ads, all that stuff. That's going deep in Buncombe County. Or you can go wide and stick with HUD and maybe MLS, since there's no negotiating with the seller, it's just you're dealing with realtors, and go wide and expand your geographic area, but that way you don't have to deal with multiple sources like I just mentioned before. So there's two ways to do it. You could go deep or you could go wide. So having said that, let me get to the second part about the acquisition person. I'm a firm believer that a person, an investor, should be able to successfully do all of it before hiring somebody else, okay? If you're leaving too much on the table by giving the seller too much, what you're going to have to do is either come up with some sort of an idea or a way to realize that, listen, if they say yes, then it's the best thing for them. They don't have to say yes. You're not twisting anybody's arm. Also, maybe there's a second thing you can come up with, even if it's just a mental visualization as to how much money they're taking out of your family's pocket by you giving them a higher offer or allowing them to sell your house at a higher price. You know, even if it's $5,000 or $10,000 per house difference, you look at that over a year's period, over 10 years period, that's, you know, it's one time for them, and they can say no, but over 10 years, you know, if you do one deal a month, and that's an extra $10,000, that's $120,000 a year, that's $1.2 million. You average that out at earning 10% interest on your money, and you'll see how many millions of dollars you're giving away to your future generation family. And you're leaving a lot of money on the table, and that could be, you know, generational wealth for your kids and your grandkids and all that good stuff. So maybe it's just a way to look at it to get out of that mode of paying too much. And another thing that might help you too is you get them on the phone, you talk to them, you build rapport because you're really good at building rapport, getting people to like you and trust you, and then say, look, what I would like to do is I want to put together an offer for you, but I want to put it in writing. And then you can put your offer, the low offer that it needs to be, in writing, and it's as simple as clicking send. And it doesn't have to be a written offer to purchase agreement. It could be in an email. You know, based on what you're telling me about your house, based on the market, based on other properties available, it looks like I need to be around $38,000. I know it's not what you're asking, but whether it's me or any other investor, you know, it's about the best I can do, and I can close fast and pay cash, and you'll have this problem off of your back. Just let me know if I can help you, as I have many other properties that I'm looking at, and I only have so much money to work with. But right now I'm ready to close fast, and I could close as quick as you are, as you're ready. So something like that would be a lot easier than talking to them face-to-face or over the phone, and it would be in writing, and that would help you to negotiate a deeper discount. Do those several things help?
Yes. In fact, I guess that's pretty much what's happened over the years, because we've got so many people, or especially realtors out there, that come to us first. I don't have to go out anymore for rehabs, but
that's
obviously
great.
I need a lot more volume. You know, I need more volume as far as the wholesaling, because, you know, we do 6 or 8 rehabs at a time.
Right.
But I can't push it any further than that, you know.
Exactly.
So,
well, the other thing, too, is you do need to pay a little bit less when you're wholesaling it, because you're basically selling it for the price that you would need to be buying it as a rehabber.
And the spread's what I make, yeah.
Right,
yeah.
Right. So you're going to have to, you need to get a little bit better deal on it so you can sell it to the rehabber at the same price you would typically buy it for as a rehabber.
And, but on the other hand, you don't have a problem with me going wide, though, do you?
No, not at all. As long as you're okay with, you know, analyzing, getting pictures of, putting the signs out, and showing the property long distance.
Right, which I've just got to get good at, you know.
Yeah, and that's not a big deal. It's something I think you need to be able to do anyway. And you can join groups. Like, let's say that you were going to buy in Memphis, Tennessee. You could go on Facebook and look for Facebook groups, real estate investing Facebook groups in Memphis, Tennessee, and put out a post and say, hey, I need somebody to go by and take pictures of a property for me. I need somebody to be my boots on the ground. I'm going to be buying properties in this area, and I need some boots on the ground. It'd be great for a beginner, a bird dog, or a newbie that wants to learn the business, and you can be my eyes and ears and boots on the ground.
Okay. And if I do that with four or five markets and do 4 or 5 a year out of each one of them, then that's easier territory than mine is, you know.
There you go. That's great.
Okay.
Awesome. Does that help?
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you, Larry.
You're very welcome. It's my pleasure. That's great. Cool. Anybody else have a question?
Larry, this is Sarah. Hi, how are you?
Hey, Sarah, how are you?
Good. I have a question. I am trying to, I'm doing the HUD in Alabama, and I'm trying to find out what is, should I concentrate on location or price? Because there's so many, you know, like, and I honestly, I've been bidding maybe like a couple hundred, but because I bid kind of low,
uh-huh.
I haven't got anyone accepted. So I'm trying to figure out, like, should I concentrate on the county or just by price? I mean, what's your recommendation?
Personally, since you're doing HUD and there's only so many HUD properties, I wouldn't worry about by county. I would just go by state, personally. That way you can make more offers. And that's kind of what I was talking about a minute ago about going wide versus going deep. You could cover the whole state, and that way it'll give you more properties to bid on, and you'll get more properties. And I understand you haven't gotten any yet in Alabama.
No,
but that's okay. You could start analyzing each property individually to see if you can adjust your bid a little bit, to pay a little bit more on some of them instead of just a percentage of list. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Good.
Okay, so I have a question. Let's say if I get one accepted, but since I'm in California, so I do need to, the problem is when I'm bidding all over Alabama for HUD, it's very hard for me to focus in one area and find a bird dog and reuse that bird dog. So what would be the strategy? Because you'll be all spreading all over.
Yeah, don't worry about it until you get a deal. Get a deal and then find the person.
Okay.
Yeah, really, because, you know, let's say you find a bird dog in Birmingham, Well, then let's say your first offer is accepted in, you know, Montgomery or, you know, Huntsville, which is not close to Birmingham.
Yes.
So, you know, then you've got the bird dog. They're all fired up and ready to go, or the boots on the ground person. They're ready to go, but you don't have a property for them. So let's get the property accepted first. Let's get a bid accepted, and then you can find somebody on Craigslist or Facebook or, you know, one of the other sites out there that, or even a temp agency or WeGoLook.com or BPO Photo Flow or any of the property preservation companies out there.
So in this case, I still need to have the listing agent or some realtor to open the door for them, right?
You may, depending on, well, if it's a HUD house, yes.
If
it's a HUD house, yes. You will, and that's okay. You could get a local realtor to do that for you.
Oh, okay.
Now, like I said before, with the HUD house, you could get a copy of the key, and have somebody stash it somewhere for you at the property. You know, I'm not advocating or recommending it, but I do know a lot of people that that's exactly what they do. Even
so, for the HUD in Alabama, typically is it 30-day close to escrow or 45 days?
Yeah, it's whatever you put on the offer, 30, 40, 45 days. What is your realtor putting on the offer to purchase when they're or the bid when they're submitting the bid?
Oh, okay. So I can decide how many days to close.
Right.
Okay. But is it 45-day a norm, or usually they look for less days?
Probably 30 is about average. Yeah, about 30 is what we do.
Okay. Because I'm trying to find a buyer in between, so I'm not sure if I can get it sold in 30 days.
Yeah, you can get it sold in 30 days. As long as you can get your signs out right away and get your marketing going, you should be able to. But you could also work on building your buyer's list, okay? But having said that, if you're covering the whole state, making offers in the whole state, I wouldn't be as concerned about the buyer's list. Just make sure you can get somebody out there to take pictures and put out about 20 foreclosure signs as soon as you get it under contract.
I see. Okay, good. Thank you. Thank you
so
much.
You're very welcome. I hope that helped.
Yeah, that helped a lot.
Good. How did you enjoy your vacation over the holidays?
Pretty good.
That's good. I saw your pictures on Facebook. It looked like you had a good time.
Oh, yeah. I went to all different canyon and the national park.
Yeah, it looked like your family had a good time.
Yes, yes.
That's good. That's good. Well, does anybody else have a question?
Can I ask a follow-up question to that?
Sure.
This is Tim. As far as finding realtors in other states that are HUD approved, how do you find the best of those, or do you just pick one out of the hat?
Well, couple of things. Let me give you a couple of things on that. First is at HUDHomeStore.com. Every agent that has an NAID number is listed on their website. And, in fact, there's a tab there that says find an agent.
Okay.
And you can search by state, city, county, whatever you want to, okay?
Okay.
The second thing, to find one, to find a good one, what you might want to do is on some properties you're calling about, when you're talking to the agent, and it doesn't even have to be about HUD properties. It could just be MLS-listed properties. But when you're calling about the MLS-listed property, you can simply talk to them about the property, and then you tell them, hey, I'm actually looking for an agent that can to work with me so I can buy houses on a regular basis. Is that something you might be interested in doing?
Okay.
And then you just, you know, kind of strike up the conversation and talk to them a little bit and tell them what you're doing and see if they might have an interest. If they don't, ask them, who do you know in your office that's maybe a brand-new agent and needs some activity going and you can work with them. Because a brand new agent, you can tell them more about what you want them to do, and they'll do it.
Sure. Well, and my local agent that I've done HUD with, we might bid on a house for a month every day. Is that unusual to do that?
Yeah.
It drops on
yeah,
the
I mean, I'm
top.
Sorry. No, it's not unusual. You can okay. bid on a house every day. I mean, we bid on all the HUD houses every day. And if the HUD house has been on the market 90 days, we've bid on it 90 times.
Right. And so it really does take a brand new agent usually to be willing to do that, you guess?
Or an agent willing to let you use their NAID number to hire an assistant for them to do it.
Right. Okay.
And it takes a little bit of rapport. You can't call an agent and talk to them the first time and ask them for their NAID number.
That's what I thought. Okay.
Yeah, you can't do that the first time. You got to build a little bit of rapport with them.
Okay.
Yeah, good. Does that help?
Absolutely. Thank
good.
You.
Good. That's great. Anybody else have a question?
Oh, Larry, this is Sarah again. I have a question.
Sure.
Okay, for HUD in Alabama, how can I find a list of closing attorney or, you know?
What you want to do is ask the agents that you're talking to who is a good investor-friendly attorney.
Oh.
And you can also contact the local REIA group, the local Real Estate Investors Association, and ask them who they know that is a good investor-friendly attorney or title company.
Okay, got it. But this is not a website you can go to search, right?
I'm sorry?
Is there a website that we can search?
NationalREIA.com, NationalREIA.com, to find a local REIA group.
Okay.
And when you're just in the course of talking to agents about properties, you're going to ask every agent who they know.
Okay. Okay, thank you.
You're very welcome. Anybody else have a question?
I'll ask another one if that's okay.
Sure.
Okay, sorry about that.
No, it's okay.
I know that you sell off notes. Do you ever use a note as collateral toward a loan from an institution?
Yes, you can, but it takes a little bit of time to build that kind of relationship where a lender will accept a note as collateral against another loan. But you
okay.
can do that. It can be done. Note buyers who build portfolios, they have lenders that will basically, for lack of a better word, floor plan their notes,
okay.
and they'll fund their notes for them, so they borrow the money. It's like a line of credit to buy
right.
these notes. And so, yeah, it works out pretty good, but you got to have a relationship with the lender to do that. And there are specialty lenders out there that do that as well. You just have to Google it to find some of them.
Okay. I had talked to someone in Texas that did that on a pretty regular basis so that he would do a 30-year loan and pay the loan off in 10 years, and then he had a free note for 20 years, you know.
Uh-huh.
So, but I just didn't know where to start with that, you know.
Yeah. I would do an online search and to try to find somebody local. And you could also, as much stuff as you've had going on, contact your bank that you work with and ask them if you could talk to them about a commercial line of credit secured by real estate receivables.
Okay, by real estate receivables. Okay.
Right.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Awesome. Thank you. Anybody else have a question?
I have another question.
Sure.
The HUD, what is the best way to organize the Excel spreadsheet? Because there's so many of them, and sometimes I download one day. Do I have to download every day? I mean, what's the best way to organize the file?
Yes, the new sheet has to be downloaded every day and merged with, it has to be downloaded every day so you can work it. And if you are using our HUD spreadsheet, then you just have to merge it with that sheet every day to keep track with the most current listings.
The thing is, I don't know how to merge the is there any tutorial on YouTube that can show me how to merge the Excel?
Well, there's a tutorial in the training that shows you how to do it that you have.
Yeah, I've purchased that, but I don't quite get it.
Oh, okay. Here's probably the best thing to do, and I don't mean this in a bad way, but get your daughter to do it for you. Isn't she a teenager?
She doesn't know how to do it.
I mean, okay. That's funny. But yeah, you could watch some videos on YouTube to show how to merge spreadsheets, merge files, merge fields.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, I tried to search on YouTube, but I have no luck about.
Well, watch those videos again that we prepared for you with the training.
Okay.
And after you watch it a few times, it will click for you.
Okay.
That makes sense?
Mm-hmm.
Good. I hope that helped.
Yeah, thank you.
So try that. Good. Anybody else have a question? Anybody else? Like everybody's out of questions. Anybody else have a question about anything, any deals you're working on, anything I'm working on, you have a question about, or the markets, or anything?
I got another one that's a little off subject. If that's
sure, that's okay.
All right. I have several private lenders that are on that I have financing trailer parks.
Uh-huh.
Do you have any ideas of where I could get those onto some type of other lending that's institutional so I can use those private lenders for other things?
Now, you want to move your private lenders off of your loans and refinance them through institutional lenders? So you can free up their money to reinvest again? Is that what you're saying?
That's it, right. I have about half my private lenders on, I think of it as more of a stagnant properties because, you know, they're bringing in income.
Right.
But I'd like to use them to do more flips, you know.
Right. Why don't you contact the bank that you work with on a regular basis and tell them you're just interested in refinancing some of your cash flowing properties.
Okay. All right.
And then, you know, what's the rate that your private lenders are charging you?
They're mostly in the 7 to 8 range.
Okay. So talk to your lender and say, hey, look, I've got some loans on some property that are in the 7 to 8 range, and I want to see if I could refinance them and get a better some better terms. I wouldn't even say that you're trying to free up their money so you can reuse it, because then the institutional lender is going to get a little nervous about you going further in debt afterwards.
Okay.
So I wouldn't even say you're trying to free it up. I would just say you're interested in refinancing to get a better rate on some of your cash flowing properties to help you out with better cash flow.
Okay.
How about that?
That's much better. I may go local too instead of using. I need to go more local just because the trailer parks, you know, they love apartments, but they're not big on trailer parks. And goodness, the return.
That's
on
true. Try a small community bank.
Okay.
Try several small community banks.
Okay.
And it may not even hurt you to move an account or two over to a small community bank. It might not even hurt you to tell the small community bank, you know, if you can help me out with this, I'll move my business over.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah.
Bribing them.
Yeah. Hey, I'll be glad to move all my business over. I have 3 company accounts and 2 personal accounts and, you know.
Okay.
Car loans, home mortgage, whatever.
Good. I like that. Okay.
Yeah. That's a little, enticement.
Absolutely. Well, and you know how it is. At any given time, you can have tens of thousands in an account, and they don't pay anything on it. So it's helpful for them, you know.
Yeah, it is. It's, you know, because they're looking for deposits.
Good. I like that. Okay.
Good.
Thank you, Larry.
You're welcome. Let me know how it turns out.
Okay.
Good. Anybody else have a question?
I got one for you, Larry. It's Aaron in Dallas.
What's up?
How the heck are you?
Excellent.
Cool, man. I just wanted to know which channel of marketing seems to be working best for you this quarter so far.
To do what?
To acquire new leads for purchasing properties.
Oh, seller leads.
Yes, sir.
Seller leads. HUD houses and MLS are my biggest sources. That's just me. That's what I work, because I go wide instead of go deep. Okay? But I'm also starting to work with a few other wholesalers and they provide the property and I sell the property.
Gotcha. Okay.
So it's called co-wholesaling.
Yes, sir. With your with the HUD stuff, have you seen any changes in your market there in the last couple of months compared to the end of the year?
Not too much. It seems like they might be a little bit tighter right now, but not as much. You know, I haven't seen that much change. Not enough to get concerned about yet.
Right. Okay. Yeah, we've seen, I mean, we've really raised our criteria, our price on a lot of these, and we haven't had anything accepted since November. So we're just wondering what the change has been or going on.
Well, and some of the new asset managers are still getting their feet wet. You know? They don't want to start dropping the ball or dropping the prices, I should say, too much, too soon. But, you know, it could just be cyclical, too. They could be waiting to see what's going to happen with HUD with the new administration. I just don't know.
Yeah, I got you.
It's kind of a wait and see. Just keep your offers going. And look at each one of them and see how much you can pay. And, you know, offer the max you can pay, but no more. And if you, you know, if you aren't getting enough deals, spread out a little bit further. You got the whole state of Texas. That's like a whole country.
Yeah, we've been hitting them.
Yeah. You'll get them. You'll get them.
We've been putting out about 120 to 130 a day. And, yeah, we did close on one from back, you know, from that one in November. We closed on that this month. It took a little while, but
right.
We're looking for that next one now.
Good for you. Did you sell or finance it?
Yeah. We just got the final account set up with August REI, the note servicer. And,
That's great. August is good to work with. That's good. It's a shame they only work in Texas, though. Yeah.
We're doing our research on other ones just so we can have some options.
Good. How much did you get down on that house?
I think they brought five, and we ended up with about four of it after closing costs.
Yeah. Did you pay Texas Pride?
We paid a different RMLO.
Oh, okay.
Well, the buyer did.
Okay. Well, good.
And it was kind of before we had our conversation about aim for $300 or more cash flow, but we should be getting $215 cash flow on this one. Going forward, we'll make sure to not sell for less than $300, ideally.
Yeah. Good. That's good. Well, the good news is with seller financing, it's not like you're going to have a bunch of repairs come up. Because they're responsible for those anyway.
Good point, yeah.
Good. Well, that's good. Well, just keep in there. You'll get some more.
Larry, this is Sarah. I have a question for the PCR, for the HUD. I see some of them, they have, like, no AC or they don't have, like, HVAC.
Uh-huh.
My question is, like, since I am in California, like, do you have a guideline for, like, should I go with, you know, the PCR that's all ES? I mean, or if it's no, which one should I go for? Because I don't know about the, you know, fixing costs and stuff.
Well, good question, Sarah. Really good question. I think it depends on what you're going to do with the house. If you're going to wholesale the house, then you can wholesale it as is. If you're going to sell or finance the house, you're going to need to put an HVAC system in it. And you being in California, you may or may not want to sell or finance a house that's going to need some expense that large, unless you're getting a steal on the house.
Okay, so I should stay away from the, you know, the one with the first no. The first one is
good. Yes, if your goal is to sell or finance it. Yes, you could, unless you feel comfortable spending that much money on some repairs like a HVAC unit.
Yeah, but with the stove and, you know, like they have other minor stuff, that should be okay, right?
Because a lot of them concerned about the stove or water heater or anything like that. But if it's roof, if it is electrical or plumbing, I would be concerned about it, and you might want to have that a little more checked out.
Okay, great. Thank you so much.
You're very welcome. Anybody else have a question?
I have a follow-up.
Sure.
You mentioned about the co-wholesaling with your company.
Right.
Do you have parameters or some sheets to fill out to present those to you? I assume you don't just put anything out there.
That's true. I don't. I need to be able to look at the numbers. All you need to do is go to, in order to submit a property, you just go to submitaproperty.com. And, Submitaproperty.com. And if you have a property that we can wholesale at 70% and where we're going to make at least $10,000, then you get five and I get five.
Mm. What's the price?
What is the price?
Yeah, what kind of property are we talking about? Like 50,000
it really doesn't matter. The price of the property really doesn't matter, but I will tell you, it's much easier to wholesale a house when you can wholesale it for $50,000 or less. Once you get up into the $100,000 plus, it's a lot more difficult to wholesale because there's a lot more people have $50,000 than has $100,000.
So that means for a $50,000 house, the wholesaler really needs to get it around like $25,000.
No. Well, no. What I meant was if we are selling it for 50.
Oh, okay.
Let's say we're selling it for 50 and it needs 20 in work, that gets you up to 70, but the ARV is 100.
Oh,
so the ARV is 100 times 0.7 is 70, minus 20 is 50, minus 10 wholesale profit is 40. So if you pick it up for 40, we could sell it for 50. You get 5 and I get 5.
We got it.
Yep, good, good. Yep, it's a good way to do some deals. If one person has properties, one person has buyers, I have a lot of buyers, we could sell them pretty quick. So if anybody has a property, let me know if you want to wholesale it. Anybody else have a question? You guys have had some really good questions tonight.
I've got another one for you, Larry.
Sure.
Just want to know what you're reading right now. What kind of stuff are you putting in your mind?
Okay. Hold on. Let me pull up Audible. I actually I like to listen to what other people put out there as far as real estate books. I read Dan Merrill's The Real Estate Wholesaling Bible last week. I also read The Art of Wholesaling Properties last week. And right now I'm reading Covert Persuasion.
Ooh.
By Kevin Hogan.
Sounds sneaky.
Yeah, well, it's all about, sales and it's all about sales and selling and just the whole mind, how the mind works, and it's really good. It's called Covert Persuasion.
I will add it to my Audible list. Thank you.
There
I just read a good one last week myself.
What was it?
It's called The Life-Changing Magic of Tidying Up by Marie Kondo.
The Life-Changing Magic of what?
Of tidying up.
Does that mean you're a slob and you're trying to clean up? Is that what that means?
I was.
You were,
absolutely.
But you're not anymore.
Nope. I had a breakthrough experience, man. It was amazing.
Wow.
I have never thought more clearly and felt so free and refreshed in my house and in my mind than since I implemented what she recommended in that book. I went through for 3 days and just purged.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I threw away like over 100 bags of garbage. I donated like 4 carloads of stuff to Goodwill. I sold a bunch of stuff. It was big time.
Wow, you did get receipts for all that Goodwill stuff, right?
Oh, you mean to avoid my theft at the end of the year?
No, to write it off on your taxes.
Yeah, so I can avoid higher theft fees.
Oh, yeah. Write it off on your theft. I get it now.
I'm not familiar with that term, taxes. What is that?
Yeah, I know.
Oh, is it voluntary? Or I didn't think it was voluntary.
Yeah, well, some people say it is.
Oh, well, I tried not to pay, and they tried to kidnap me.
Yeah, I don't doubt that. I don't doubt that at all.
They're not going to mess with Larry Goins, though.
Yeah, well, they're not going to mess with you either. Yeah, I'm sure you got a few more ARs than I have.
No, I just have a shirt that says I'm with Larry.
That's funny.
Cool. Thanks for answering that. If there's anything we can do to help Mr. Goins, let us know too.
Thank you very much. I appreciate you. Appreciate you very much. And Gabriel, I saw you tag me in your thing. I'll hit you up with something, okay? in your your mission thing there.
That'll work. No pressure. Just wanted to take a look at it when you get
there. I know. That's good. I'll check it out.
Okay. Sounds good.
Awesome. So anybody else have a question?
Yeah, Larry, for the submit a property, is it property for nationwide or just in North Carolina?
Anywhere.
Okay. That's good.
Yeah, anywhere. There you go. Good. So anybody else have a question?
Yeah, if I submit an offer, typically what's the turnaround time before I find out whether that property is accepted by you?
A lot of times I respond the same day. Probably most of the times I respond the same day, if not usually the next day.
Okay.
Yeah. Good. Anybody else have a question?
I just wanted to mention on the Kevin Hogan. I listen to a lot of the YouTube stuff he's got.
Oh, really?
And it's really good pieces of the book that you can focus on one thing at a time. Of course, the book's obviously a wonderful thing, but it's nice to get those little excerpts that he does on his channel.
Uh-huh. Good. That's good. I appreciate that. I'll check that out.
He's a nice guy, too. He really is.
Really?
Of course, he's probably just persuaded me to think that.
He's convinced you that he is.
What's the person?
Kevin Hogan.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome. Anybody else have a question? Anybody else? All right, going once, going twice. Guys, I really appreciate you guys being on here. Appreciate your business. Appreciate your confidence in us. If there's anything at all that we can do in between these calls, please do not hesitate to reach out to us because we are here for you. And we appreciate your business. And if you need anything, shoot me an email to larry@larrygoins.com. And if I don't talk to you before then, I will talk to you in 2 weeks. So thanks a lot, everybody. Everybody have a great night.
Thank you, Larry.
Thank you, Larry.
Thank you. Bye-bye.